Let's pray. Father, I just thank you for this time we have to come together in the presence of the Lord. And Lord, just to worship you, to lift you up, and to express our love, our adoration, our honor for you, Lord. And I pray, Father, that now we would honor you by hearing your word, Lord, by taking heed to your word. I pray, Father, that you help us to understand the eternal truths of the word of God. Lord, that we might know you better and that we might live in all that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Wednesday nights have been sharing with you a series of messages about the life of faith. And we talked about the word of faith, how important it is that we build up our faith with the word of God. There's plenty of doubt in this world. You don't have to work at it. It's human nature. But if you're going to be strong in faith, you're going to have to fill yourself with the word of faith. You're going to have to listen to the word. It will build your faith. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. It's when you hear the word that you have the opportunity to believe. It's not automatic. You still got a choice, but it's when you hear the word that you can believe. We talked about the call of faith. We talked about the way of faith. And tonight we're going to talk about the land of faith. Abraham answered the call of faith. He left his comfort zone. Even though he didn't know where he was going, he went out in obedience to the Lord, and he became the father of faith. Not only did God bless him, but all the nations of the world are blessed through him. We talked about Moses, that Moses went the way of faith. Every day, Moses saw miraculous provision. He saw God's power to protect. He saw God deliver his people, and he trusted God to do what he could never do on his own. That's the way of faith. He saw God make a way when there was no way. Now, tonight we're going to look at the children of Israel. In a good way, and in a negative way, both. There was one generation that never entered into the promised land, but then there was a generation that did. And we're going to talk a little bit about both. The Lord delivered them out of Egypt, destroyed that Egyptian army. But the first time that they came to the promised land, they wouldn't enter in because of unbelief. They were afraid because they were looking at things in the natural instead of walking by faith. And they missed what God had for them. Even though they saw the miracles of the 10 plagues, I mean, they're pretty phenomenal. By the way, tonight, I'm not going to read all these passages to you, so I'm just going to tell you, read the book of Exodus and then read the book of Joshua, okay? They're good. It's better than anything on TV. But anyway, I'm not going to read all these verses to you. You know, usually I give you a bunch of verses. Well, I'm just going to talk about the stories because it would take a long time to read all of these stories. But they're good to read, I'm telling you. It'll build your faith if you read them. But they saw those 10 plagues and how amazing those miracles were. And then they saw the sea part, and they walked through on dry ground between the walls, two walls of water. And they watched as the sea came back in and destroyed the whole Egyptian army. They saw those things happen. And yet, just a short time later, when they get to the promised land, they couldn't enter in because of unbelief. They didn't take God at his word. To go in and possess the land and the natural, well, it was impossible. They did not have the power, the might, the ability in themselves to go in and defeat all of those fortified cities and drive out all of the different ites. Right? There were even giants in the land. They didn't have the power to do that on their own. They were going to have to take God at his word and act in faith. The land that God had promised them could only be accessed by faith. And I'm convinced that it's the same way for us. To really live the life that God has called us to, an abundant life, to really live the way Jesus wants us to, I'm telling you, you only get there by faith. Over and over, the Bible tells us that we are to live by faith. We don't walk by sight, but we walk by faith. And so you need to understand that just as they couldn't enter in to that promised land, you can't really enter into all God has for you. You can't really receive the promises that God has for you without faith. Now, after they refused to go into the land by faith and obedience to the Lord, the Lord said that only Joshua and Caleb would go in. Everybody else over 20 was going to die in the wilderness. Now, I don't know if you're familiar with this part of the story, but after the Lord said that, then some of them decided, okay, well, we'll try to go in then. And they just on their own decided to try to go into the promised land, but it wasn't in faith. It was presumption. And let me tell you what the difference is. You got to have a word from the Lord. You got to know that God has spoken to you and you're obeying God. See, sometimes people think they're acting in faith because they had an idea or there's something they thought would be a good thing, and they just said, well, I'm just going to believe God to do this. You need to hear from God, because faith comes by hearing. And I want to remind you again, that verse in Romans 10:17, the Greek word is rhema. It's not logos, which is used for the word in so many other places. It is a spoken word. It's when you hear from God that faith really comes. And those that tried to go in failed because it was just presumption. I want to remind you of the story of Peter. And I realize that in this series, I'm talking about some of the same stories again. But Peter is such a great example, because when he saw Jesus walking on the water, he didn't just jump out of the boat. See, this is where some Christians really mess up. They just say, well, you know what? I think it'd be a good thing. I mean, Peter walked on water, Jesus walked on water, I'm going to walk on some water, so go at it. And you come back, tell me how that went for you. Let me tell you something. He said, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And guess what? When Jesus says come, you can get out and you can walk on the water. Oh, we need to hear that. As I'm telling you, there's a whole lot of people trying to do things by presumption. Just so they want to do something. You need to know that God wants you to do that. So important that we pray and that we hear from God and just obey God. Faith is having a word from God that you act on. Presumption's when you just decide you're going to do it. See, and you can say that you're trusting God when it's just you without a word from God, but that's not faith. That that unbelieving generation of Israelites passed away, and God raised up a new generation that would just believe what he said. The promised land was a land of faith for God's people. Over and over and over, he had told them, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you. And when Joshua finally leads God's people into that land that flowed with milk and honey, they had to go in and possess it by faith. Even in crossing the Jordan River to go into the land, they didn't come to the Jordan River and say, well, let's start trying to dam this thing up. Let's get us some boats. Well, we'll just build a bridge across it somehow. I mean, we're talking about over 1 million people. How are we going to get all these people across this Jordan River? Let's get a big committee. And we'll start raising some money and we'll figure out how to do this. No, that's not what they did. They heard from God. And God told them that the priests were to walk down and step into the water. And I want you to know something. The water didn't start parting until they stepped into the water. That's faith. And you know what? When God tells you to do something, a lot of times you're not going to see it change until you take that step out of the boat, off the bank, into the water. But God made a way, and they entered into the promised land by faith. From the very beginning, that's how it happened. When they got to the walls of Jericho, again, listen to me, they didn't devise a plan. Well, let's see, how do you usually do this? We'll get something so we can scale the walls. Or maybe let's get something big and heavy, we'll try ramming the gates. I mean, there's got to be a way we can do this. No, they got a word from God. You want to see miracles in your life? Well, get a word from God. They got a word from God. Well, you march around the city for 6 days. Then on the 7th day, you march around 7 times. Then you give a great shout and the walls will come down. Well, that's the craziest thing I ever heard. They went in by faith. But it was a fight of faith. You need to know that. Not everything just fell into their lap. It was a fight of faith. And ours is a fight of faith. Listen, sometimes we have a battle, a struggle, something that we're trying to accomplish. And our natural tendency is to just do everything in the natural. And sometimes we fail again and again and again. And I think too often we just end up saying, well, it must not have been God's will. Right. It's not God's will for you to do it in the arm of the flesh and your own strength and your own wisdom and your own pride and ego, where you can say, look what I did. It is God's will for us to walk by faith, that what we do in faith, trusting that God will make our efforts successful. But we do our best to hear from God about what he wants us to do. Simple faith and obedience. That's what got the job done for them, and that's what gets the job done for us. And God gets the glory. If we just take God at his word and in faith obey him, I'm telling you, we will see great victories. 1 Corinthians 10 and 11, I do want to give you this verse. It's such a great verse for us to understand. All these things happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. All that stuff that happened to them is an example for us, for our teaching. They're written down to teach us. The things that happened to them reveal spiritual principles. And those same principles apply to us. And we learn how we're supposed to live by by looking at how God dealt with them and how he worked with them, those events written down to teach us the principles of faith, for us to understand how those principles work in our lives. There's a promised land, a land of faith, that God had promised them over and over. They could only enter by faith. And there's a life of faith that we're to live. You see, for us, there's a land of faith where we live by the promises of God and enjoy the blessings of God. We got to decide whether we're going to just live by the natural or we're going to really live by faith. It's strange to me, it's troubling to me, that so many Christians are content to believe God, to go to heaven someday, and that's it. When all through the Scripture, there are promises and blessings that he has made clear are for us, and yet so many settle for something far less. I'm telling you, it is a wilderness experience. They've been saved, you know. They've been bought by the blood, just like the Israelites came out of Egypt through the Passover lamb. We have a Passover lamb, and we've been saved. But I'm telling you, God has something more. He wants us to learn to live by faith every day. Most people rarely believe the Lord for anything. Jesus said, all things are possible to him who believes. Why would we not want to believe God? All things are possible to him who believes. Not just, hey, you can go to heaven. Oh, that's wonderful. That's the most important thing, that we're going to be with him for eternity. But listen to his words. All things are possible to him who believes. Now, the one who said that has not changed. Hebrews 13:15, Jesus, 13:8, isn't it? Help me. Yeah, 13:8. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed at all. The same word is still true. He didn't just say that to a particular person. It's only for him. All things are possible to you if you... That's not what he said. He said, all things are possible to him who believes. Oh, what is available to us? So many great promises through the Word of God, and yet so often we settle for less. I want you to think about this. They saw miracles in the wilderness, but they never saw what God really wanted to do in their lives. They never saw the fulfillment of being in that promised land and enjoying a land that flowed with milk and honey. That's what God intended for them. What does he intend for us that we're missing out on? These things were written down to teach us. Now, some people think that our promised land would be, we're going to go to heaven someday. And certainly, there is that promise, and I want you to hear me now. There is a rest that remains for the people of God. And when we get to heaven, we're going to rest. Thank God. Aren't you glad? There's not going to be any more tears. There's not going to be any more fighting and strife. Listen, there's not going to be any sin there. So none of that stuff's going to be there. But listen, in the promised land, you fight. And I'm telling you that in our promised land, here in this life, you got to fight. It is a fight of faith. It doesn't just fall in your lap. It doesn't come easy. There's going to be battles. And what for them many times were fights, battles in the natural, for us is a spiritual battle. But it's still very real. And we need to understand that we have to fight the good fight of faith But just like they had to believe God, we have to believe God. 1 Timothy 6:12, fight the good fight of faith. In the wilderness, that generation, that unbelieving generation, went around and round in circles until they all died. And a lot of believers go around and round in circles. They maintain, they survive. But they don't really live in all God has for them. I'm telling you, He wants us to go in and possess the land by faith. All that He's promised to us. They had to fight for it, and we have to fight for it. You see, I want to say it again. Our land of faith is living in the promises, the blessings that God has given to us. It is walking by faith, living by faith every day. That's our land of faith. Not just living in the natural, going around in the wilderness, taking another lap around Mount Sinai, but living by faith. So many great promises that He's made to us. Promises of healing, promises of provision, promises of blessings for your kids, promises of prosperity, success, all kinds of promises, promises of peace, promises of joy. And I want to tell you something. You're going to have to fight for those things. Fight for peace? That's right. Listen, we even do that sometimes in the natural. You have to fight sometimes to have peace. When you're being attacked, you got to fight sometimes to have peace in the natural. Our country does that. But in the spiritual, we certainly have to fight for our peace. Things happen, and all of a sudden, your peace just went right out the window, and you got to fight for it. How do you do that? Listen, when the Israelites went into the land, do you realize that almost every battle that they fought, they used a sword? They even used a sword in Jericho. I mean, the walls came down, and they went in, and they defeated the people. But they used a sword. You need to use the sword. We have a sword. It's the Word of God. You got to use it. Jesus said, "My peace I give unto you." Jesus gave me His peace. I'm not going to let it go. Paul said, "Don't be anxious for anything, but in everything, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." And so you start praying. You say, "Lord, this has got me. This has stolen my peace. And so, Father, I'm bringing it to you in the name of Jesus, and I'm laying it at your feet. I'm asking you to..." Listen, see, you've got to fight for that peace. Sometimes, you know, you get down. Well, don't just take it. I know that the last thing you want when you're down is somebody telling you, "Well, just get up." But listen, here's the options. Either you stay down or you fight. And you start standing on the Word of God, speaking the Word of God. I see it in the Psalms over and over where David was down, but before he got done, he was back up. And I'm just telling you, you got to fight for that joy. You got to fight for your kids. They're going the wrong way and doing stupid things. Fight for them. Stand on the Word. Keep fighting for them. Not just in the flesh. Fight for them in the Spirit. They believed God, and so often God did a miracle. God supernaturally empowered them. He assured their victory. But I want to say this again. They did do certain things. Now, they didn't just depend on themselves. They were depending on God. And God got the glory. But I'm going to say this again. They did use a sword. In almost every battle, they used a sword. Sometimes you take the medicine By faith. See, some people think, well, if you have faith, you don't need no medicine. Listen, you obey God. If God tells you not to take the medicine, then don't take it. But sometimes you're trusting God, you believe in God, and you take the medicine. Sometimes you're trusting God, you believe in God, but you send out the resume. I had a real spiritual guy tell me one time, you don't need to send out any resumes. God will just speak your name to somebody in the dark. Okay. I mean, God can do that. But I'm telling you, sometimes you got to send out the resume. Sometimes you fill out the application. But you're not just doing it in your own strength in the flesh. You're not just depending on your own efforts and your own wisdom. You're trusting God and believing Him that He's going to cause you to be successful. You keep your faith in God and not in yourself. So many people are being deceived in this generation by this phrase, this idea that you got to trust in yourself, believe in yourself. Oh no, you believe in God. You trust Him because He won't let you down. You will. The Israelites had lots of battles to fight in the promised land, and I can assure you, you will have lots of battles. I think that one of the things that happened to them the first time that they came to the promised land, the reason they didn't go in is they didn't realize it was going to be such a fight. They got there and they went in and they saw the fortified cities. They saw the strong people. And they were like, uh-uh. And a lot of Christians do the same thing. They didn't know it was going to be a fight. So I'm telling you, it's going to be a fight. You're going to have to stand your ground and fight the good fight of faith. Stand on the Word of God. Keep trusting God. Keep expecting God to fulfill His Word in your life. They refused to go in the first time. Now think about this. For 40 years, they went around in a circle and God provided for them. For 40 years, He miraculously provided for them. Every day, they had that manna. I mean, it's like eating oatmeal every day, all day. But He provided. It was a miracle. And their clothes never wore out. Now, you know what? That's pretty amazing. And, you know, it's cool that God provided for them enough for them to get by until they passed on. And there's a lot of people that are content with that. Please do not follow down the path that I'm just talking about material things. I am not. There's a lot of people that settle in their life for just enough whatever it is, see, peace, just enough blessing, they just barely get by. And God miraculously gets them through and everything, you know, they're making it, but it's a wilderness experience. I want to tell you what's a whole lot better than having oatmeal provided every day. It's going into a land that flows with milk and honey. Here's what's a whole lot better. That how many of you ladies want your clothes to not wear out for 40 years? Huh? No, you know what's a whole lot better than that? Get new clothes. Listen, the wilderness thing and eating oatmeal every day and the same old clothes for 40 years, they didn't wear out. That was a miracle. But that was plan B. Plan A was that they went into the land that flowed with milk and honey, that they had all of the wealth of the wealth of the wicked was laid up for the righteous. All of that was going to be theirs. But they all passed away in the wilderness until a new generation was ready to believe God and go in by faith. How much better. And the same is true for us. I'm telling you, you can just get by and hold on till you go to heaven, or you can walk by faith and see God do great things in your life. That's the land of faith. I don't want a wilderness experience in my Christianity, just trying to get my needs met. Are you hearing me? See, this is where a lot of people are living. They're just trying to get their needs met. That was never God's plan for his people. He wants to bless us so we can be a blessing. That's what he told Abraham from the very beginning when he first told him about this promised land. He said, I'm going to bless you, and you will be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. And I really do believe that God wants to say, well, how much money does God want me to have? Quit making it about money. Listen to me. God wants to bless you so you can be a blessing to others in every way. In every way. Our land of faith is believing what God has promised us. I believe every promise in this book is for me. I haven't obtained them all yet, but I'm believing and I'm fighting for them. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says, all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. For all the promises of God, for all the promises of God, for all the promises of God. You need to see that in your Bible, and you need to think about what it means. For all the promises of God. For one of the promises of God is for you. A couple of them. For all the promises of God. That's what it says. You need to meditate on that. Because too often people are disregarding. It is this terrible religious doctrine of the day that wants to put aside so many of the promises and say, well, that was just for them, and that was just for them, and that was just for them, and we're not really left with much. For all the promises of God, you know, you just start reading in the Bible and you don't find those statements. They have to make them up because they're not in there. It's just like on the day of Pentecost, when Peter's talking about the Holy Spirit, and he says, this gift is for you and your children and to as many as the Lord our God will call. He didn't put a time limit on it. It's for everybody. All the promises of God in him are yes and amen to the glory of God through us. They fought one battle after another, and so will you if you fight the fight of faith. I knew y'all were going to get excited about that, but you know what I'm talking about. You get through with this battle, and a lot of the time there's another one waiting on you. But if you ain't got one right now, well, it'll come to you. But jump in with somebody else. Fight for somebody else. But, you know, you just need to know this, that you know, they went from one city to another fighting and taking what God had promised them. And sometimes that's the way it is for us. We get one victory and it's time to go for the next victory. You know, you might want to see your peace as a city that you got to take. You're going to take it by faith. You might want to see that new job as a city you're going to take by faith. You might want to see your neighbor as a city that you're going to take by faith to win them to the Lord, or a family that you know, or maybe a family member that's gotten away from the Lord, and you see them as a city that God wants you to win, and you're going to go after them. You're going to let the Lord speak to you. Let the Lord direct your steps. Let him give you a plan, not just devise your own way, but pray about it and let God show you what to say and how to do it. You see, that's the land of faith. That's living by faith, is trusting God and believing God. See him move and work in our lives and do miracles. I tell you, he wants us to overcome. He wants us to have victory. Can you imagine what it was like for those children of Israel when they finally entered into the promised land? For generations and generations and generations, they'd heard about it, and now they're living the dream. They're walking on that promised land where everywhere they set their foot belongs to them. What that must have been like. I think it's supposed to be like that for us as we walk by faith, that we're living the dream, that Jesus promised us an abundant life, that we are his disciples. We're having an impact in this world. We're making a difference. We're seeing God move and work in our lives. Ever since Genesis 12, when Abraham first told, or when God first told Abraham that he was going to give it to him, they'd heard about it. And I'm telling you, too often we've heard about it, but haven't really walked it out and lived it out. So I want to give you one more example. The Lord has a plan for his people today. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, that's for us, church. But we got to take it by faith. It won't happen by personality. It won't happen by technology. It won't happen by the strength of man, the wisdom of man. It's not by might or the power of man, but by his Spirit. It is by God moving and working in our lives. It has to happen by faith. But I'm telling you that we can fulfill God's plan in our lives. The church can fulfill what God wants us to as we trust him and believe him. And I just want to clarify this. Listen, yes, we believe God to supply all our needs according to his riches and glory. Yes, we believe God to heal us. But we're not believing God to supply all of our needs and to heal us so that we can buy a 55-inch TV and sit on the couch and watch it all day in comfort. No, I believe God wants us healed and he wants us blessed so we can go and we can do his work without hindrance, so that we can fulfill all he has for us. And I believe he heals us. I believe he blesses us. But it is not so you can put your feet up in the easy chair and do nothing. It's so you can be a blessing. It's so that you can fulfill his purpose in your life. So he's called us as a people, as a church, to advance his kingdom, pursue the vision that God has given us. See, we're not focusing on our own needs. How terrible is it to be in a place where you're always focused on your needs, trying to get your needs met? No, we're focused on the kingdom and what God wants to do. We're focused on the promises of God. We're not focused on the past. We're not focused on Egypt. We're looking at the future and what God wants to fulfill in our lives. That's faith, reaching forward to the future. Our focus on the plan and purpose of God. We just keep advancing his kingdom. John 4:35, Jesus says, don't say there's still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes, look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. You know what Jesus was doing? He was giving the disciples vision. Lift up your eyes. And look at the fields. Get your eyes off yourself. Quit looking at the right here, just what's right in front of you. Get your eyes off all that. Look at the fields. They are white unto harvest. Jesus says the harvest is plentiful. Wow. We need to always know that. There's a great harvest. In Luke chapter 10, when he's talking about the same thing, he says, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. I'm telling you, we need to be that people of faith going out in this world to win the lost, bring them to the Lord. Not those people that say, well, I invited my neighbor, you know, 2 or 3 times 10 years ago. Believe God. Expect miracles. Expect God to give you direction and live that life of faith. I believe the Lord will bring people to your mind when you're praying. I believe sometimes you're just going to pass somebody and the Holy Spirit's just going to say, you need to talk to them. I believe God's going to give you those divine appointments. That's for us, that he's going to show us. It's not just us doing it on our own. Sometimes it's going to be like Philip with that Ethiopian eunuch. And the Lord said, told Philip to run up alongside that chariot. I don't know if he's going to make you run alongside a car, but I'm just, you never know. But I'm just telling you, God can speak to you and tell you, go up, go over and talk, go sit by that person and talk to them. I know I'm scaring some of you shy people right now, but I'm just telling you, God wants to use you. Live by faith every day. Live in the land of faith. Your best days are ahead. Forget about Egypt. Forget about the wilderness. And get your eyes on the promises of God and believe to see them fulfilled in your life. Well, stand with me. We're going to pray. Father, I just thank you that you have called us to such an exciting life. And I pray, Father, that tonight this seed of the Word of God would just stir around in our heart and get us looking, seeking, following hard after the promises of the Word of God, to hear your voice and to know what you would have us to do in this life. Lord, that none of us lives a wilderness experience, takes another lap, but we enter in to the things that you've prepared for us, the blessings, the challenges, the victories. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, bless you.